I'm very pleased to welcome Phil Green from the Home for Good. He is currently working as the Programs Manager for the Evangelical Alliance based in London. And the Home for Good has been set up by three charities in this last year, but is about to become its own charity, its own right, and launch itself as a charity, and they're currently looking to that. And Phil has been appointed to be the CEO of Home for Good when it is fully established. So we're very honoured to have him with us this evening. So I wonder if you just welcome him to us now.
Thank you, Ian. And it's really good to be here with you this evening. And it's so good to be coming to a church that is putting on an event like this. And I'm so pleased that God has placed these issues on your heart. Because we have a problem in the UK. Since we've been here this evening, at least one child has entered the care system. Every 22 minutes, a child somewhere in the UK is taken into care. Often these children are coming from dysfunctional families, from families which are occasionally abusive. All kinds of horrific stories accompany these children into the care system every 22 minutes. And as a result, the care system in the UK is at breaking point, you could say. 6,000 children are currently waiting to be adopted. What's tragic about these 6,000 is these are the 6,000 children that have become known as the harder-to-place children. These are the children that no one seems to want to adopt. They are older children, teenagers. They're sibling groups that social services would love not to have to break up. But it's hard to find people who are willing to adopt 3 or 4 brothers and sisters. And perhaps, and also amongst this group, are a high number of black children, particularly black boys. The chance of a black boy being adopted if they're over the age of 4, is next to nothing. It's a tragic situation. So that's what it looks like in terms of adoption. When it comes to fostering, there's a shortfall at the moment of 8,600 foster carers. 8,600 foster carers are urgently needed. This is a big challenge facing our society at the moment. And just over a couple of years ago, a few leaders from Christian charities got together and they were beginning to talk, this is a big problem, but how many churches are we in contact with? And there was Care for the Family, Evangelical Alliance, and the Church's Child Protection Advisory Service sitting around the table. And they were like, well, a conservative estimate was we're in contact with about 15,000 churches. You can do the maths, can't you? 6,000 children waiting to be adopted, 8,600, let's round to 9,000 foster carers urgently needed, that equals 15,000. If one family from each church were to choose to foster or adopt, would wipe out the waiting list. And the impact on society would be huge. Now, in reality, we know it's not going to happen like that. What we find is a few families in a church decides to foster, and then others see, oh, wow, that's amazing. We'll join in too. So it happens in clusters. But this is just to show what the church could do. This is an amazing opportunity to address this problem. Later on, we'll be hearing for Safe Families for Children, who kind of take the step back, and the work they're doing will reduce the number of children going into the care system in the first place. So this is a great opportunity for the church. So the Evangelical Alliance got involved to lead a church-facing campaign. We wanted the church to be aware of these issues, and we want to normalize fostering and adoption within the Christian community in the UK. Care for the Family are getting involved to offer support, because fostering and adoption is not easy. It is hard. It is very hard. So Care for the Family want to develop initiatives to help better support those who do foster and adopt, and equip churches to better support those within their families who foster and adopt. And CCPAS are getting involved in faith literacy training, training social workers to understand the issues of faith better. I'll talk about these things more as I go through. But this is just a fantastic opportunity. This is good for children. Too many children are growing up without the love of a stable home. I'm sure there are people in this room who know exactly what it's like to have a traumatic home situation for whatever reason, whether it's through absence or through brokenness or whatever. And some of us who are in very loving homes can think back to moments where family life was not all that good and the pain that caused us. So just imagine what it must be like growing up without anywhere to call home, without a family. Who do you phone when you get a great exam result? Who do you phone when you don't know how to cook roast beef? Who do you spend Christmas with? There are too many children who have got nowhere to call home, and we want that to change. So we think that this can be good for children. This could be fantastic for the church. Imagine if the church in the UK was known for solving the crisis in the care system. Imagine if the church in the UK was known for solving this problem and opening up our homes to the most vulnerable children in our society. And ultimately, this is also good for society. I'll just give you one snapshot of this. And look at the prison population. 27% of the adult prison population were in care as children. If you look at the under 21s in our prison population, 40% of them were in the care system as children. These are people who have had a bad experience of the care system, and as a result have led kind of broken lives. Just to put that into perspective, the chance of being in prison for the whole population is 2%. So 2% of the general population have spent time in prison. But 27% of the prison population have been in care as children. You might be sitting here tonight thinking, but I wasn't sure that Christians could foster or adopt, because there are some myths that need breaking. Because there's this rumour going around that social workers don't really like Christians, and Christians have a hard time in the fostering and adoption process. And it's important to say that there are experiences where this is the case, but they are the minority by far. It's just that those kind of stories travel the furthest and are often told the loudest. Christians can foster and adopt. And in fact, since we launched the Home for Good campaign last March, just over a year ago, we've had 60 local authorities and fostering agencies and adoption agencies contact us and say, how can you help us connect with churches in our area? They are desperate to connect with churches. So we need to change this myth. Christians can foster and adopt. And one of the things that we are doing as Home for Good is working with social workers so they become more faith-friendly, so they kind of understand faith, so they know how to ask the right questions. So when Christians start talking about how God's called them to foster, or they talk about the elders in their church, things that we think are perfectly normal, but for a social worker who has no church experience, that kind of language sounds a bit weird. But we're trying to help social workers understand what's meant by these kind of things, so that social workers will give Christians a kind of a more faith-friendly service. But also, equally, we want Christians to understand that the social workers are doing an important job. The assessment process is grueling, but there's a reason for that. They are trying to find homes for some extremely vulnerable and broken children. They need to do the checks. We've spoken to people who have been adopted into a situation that was even worse than the situation they were taken from. That is tragedy. So social workers, they're doing a good job. The majority of social workers are fantastic people. And as church, we want to kind of encourage to support our social workers more. But also, we want to kind of break the myths around what kind of person fosters or adopt. And we've just produced this video that I'm now going to show you for Father's Day. Because as we've travelled the country, we've recognised that in a couple, it's often the wife who's really keen to foster, but the husband is a little bit more cautious and not quite so sure that fostering is for them. So we've filmed this short film of some men with interesting jobs who foster and trying to get churches to show this on Father's Day, just to kind of break the stereotypes about the type of people who foster. So take a look at this.
Stable environment, and I'd like to help kids provide some stability in their lives. At the minute, we're fostering a baby boy, and he's the only person on the planet that squeals with delight when he sees me in the morning.
Obviously, lots of colleagues I work with don't end up as foster carers. But I think, from my point of view, partly I see my life as an integrated life of service. So you can't leave things at work. They all come home as well. Partly, I had always had a deep interest in fostering and adoption, though I can't really say why I had. Partly, I was always strongly influenced by the impetus in the scriptures about caring for the orphan and how important that was in both Old Testament and New. And I don't think it was a combination of those things.
I became a foster carer because my wife, Sue, is a barrister in child protection. And I saw a lot of the cases that were coming home with her, and I saw things that just I'd never witnessed before, never seen before. And I just looked at it and I thought, well, everybody lives in this little bubble of a world where, as long as they're all right, they don't think they tend to think about too many other people. And when I saw what was happening to children, you know, it broke my heart. And I thought, enough said, let's get on with it, let's do something about it.
The more I read the Bible, the more I came across interesting fostering and adoption stories. So, you know, you read the story of Moses, he was fostered, or Esther was brought up by her uncle, or Jesus, you know, obviously Joseph wasn't his real dad, and so Joseph was in one sense a foster dad. And time and time again in the Bible, God describes himself as someone who cares for the vulnerable, cares for the outcast, cares for the marginalised. So that kind of just reinforced it every time we were reading the scripture. It popped out that this was something God wanted us to do.
I've found myself, when I think about children in a looked after situation, they've got no mom, they've got no dad, they've got no aunts, no uncles, all that stuff that I've always taken for granted, that I know that my own children take for granted. And I just find that absolutely terrifying. How must it be for a little kid to be told you're going on a sleepover with people you don't know, and you don't know for how long? Terrifying. The least you can do is say, come to my house where I know you'll be safe. And even if you're scared, I know you'll be safe in my house.
I think just being in a normal family and having the love of parents around them and the love of a family is enormously beneficial to them. But the best thing and the best memories from fostering for me are really when you get to stand up for a child and make sure that they get the help and the support that they need. And whether that's from social services, from their school, or from the NHS. And I think that being able to use that protective instinct that we all have as fathers and see the difference that makes to a child, that really, for me, is my greatest joy from fostering, just being a champion for the kids, really.
So this is just one of the many videos that we've produced just to try and get people thinking about whether fostering and adoption could be for them. So what are we encouraging churches to do? Well, one of the first things we're encouraging churches to do is to actually celebrate. And by that I mean to recognise the great work foster carers or adoptive parents might already be doing within their congregation. We've been really surprised and just encouraged by how Home for Good has given people within churches the opportunity to share their stories so that people in their church know of the work they're doing. In November, we run Adoption Sunday, where we encourage churches to have a Sunday where they focus on adoption. And we heard of one church that gave foster carers and adoptive parents the red carpet treatment that day. So as they arrived at church, they were given flowers and a round of applause and cake. And not only did they do that for foster carers and adoptive parents in their church, they invited foster carers and adoptive parents from the whole community to that service to celebrate the great work that they do. And this wasn't about kind of glorifying or giving foster carers or adoptive parents the undue praise. It was just about the church recognizing the great but challenging task that they're undertaking and standing with them and saying, we are with you in this. Secondly, we're encouraging campaigning. So let me tell you a story about what's been going on in Southampton. Just over a year ago, churches in Southampton knew that the council budget was going to be slashed. So they went to the council and said, hey, we're churches, we're in contact with lots of people, we have lots of resources, how can we help you? And the council gave them a list of things. One of them was to find more foster carers. And churches went away, prayed about it, and then a few weeks later came back and presented the council with 40 keys. And they said, in the next year, we will find you 40 new foster carers. And the council were blown away by the offer, but kind of probably were laughing, thinking they just don't know how hard it is to recruit foster carers. We spend millions trying to do this. The campaign's been running just over a year now. So far, 73 people have applied to become foster carers as a result of that campaign. Six have already been approved. Six more are just about waiting to go to panel, the final stage of the assessment process. Even those numbers are like the best Southampton Council have ever heard of. So the church in Southampton has made this huge difference. So now we're working with churches and groups of churches all over the UK, encouraging them to think about, this is what Southampton have done. Could you do that here in Durham? Could you do that? We're asking individual churches to think, well, could you set a prayer goal yourselves? Could you pray over the next few years that we would find five foster carers from our congregation? Or could you work with other churches in the area to work with a local authority and say, well, what can we do to help you do this? Perhaps most importantly is this one, care. The reality is most people in this room tonight won't ever foster or adopt. And that is okay. Fostering and adoption is not for everybody. But what we're saying is we believe it's for every church. We believe that the church is a fantastic community that can wrap around and support families that do. Fostering is hard work. Adoption has many challenges. But as the church family, we can wrap around and support those families that do. And we've just heard some fantastic stories. So there was one family that was fostering this really small baby. And the baby just wouldn't stop crying unless it was being held. And this was becoming a real problem at mealtimes because they could not put the baby down to eat. So the church, they had a fantastic idea. They put together a cuddle rotor. They took it in turns to go round and just hold the baby while the family could eat. A fantastic way that the church can get involved. We heard of another story. It was a teenage foster girl turned up on the doorstep and she was covered in piercings. But she was really insecure and really didn't like people looking at her. And the family were like, how on earth is this going to go down on a Sunday morning when we take her to church? Everyone is just going to stare at her and make her feel really uncomfortable. So what did they do? They phoned their small group and said, would you mind skipping the church service on Sunday? And let's go take the dog out for a walk and we'll invite her to come with us as well. So they did that for one Sunday and then they did it for another Sunday and another Sunday. And this whole small group was skipping the Sunday service for kind of weeks on end. But over that time, they got to know this girl and the girl got to know them. So when a couple of months down the line, this girl did go to church on a Sunday morning, she didn't notice that anyone was looking at her because as soon as she walked through the door, she had a whole small group run up to her to welcome her into church on a Sunday morning. Another fantastic example of a church just wrapping around. So we're encouraging church to think about what does it mean to be more welcoming to foster carers and adoptive parents. And this is one of these things that churches should think about even before they have any foster carers or adoptive parents within their congregations. Because it's a vicious circle, isn't it? You hear a lot of churches saying, we've got, this is kind of an extreme example to illustrate a point. We have got no deaf people in our church, so we don't bother to get the sermon put into sign language. Well, of course you've got no deaf people in your church because they're not going to come to a church where they're not putting the sermon into sign language. But if you were to start putting the sermon into sign language, perhaps some people from the deaf community would come to your church service. And that's kind of an extreme example, but it illustrates the point. If the children's work and the youth programs within a church are not friendly or not welcoming to children in care, then you're not going to be welcoming those kind of families because they might come on a Sunday morning and then go elsewhere because they don't feel welcome. So there are things that churches can be doing to preparing for this. I know my time is up, but I'm just going to say this. Spring Harvest this year discovered that they were inundated with children in care coming to their youth programs. And they kind of had a word with Home for Good, wondering if we're kind of causing trouble for them. So they're now thinking, how do they make their children's programs friendlier for children in care? So we're now going to be training the Spring Harvest team so that they can make sure that their activities are appropriate for children in care. So that's kind of an overview. That's kind of a vision. Those are some kind of ideas that are thrown out. Some best next steps. If you're thinking that fostering and adoption might be for you, if you're thinking you really want to know how to support people you know who do foster or adopt, if you're thinking about how the church can get more involved, read this book. This book is by Krish Kandaya, who is my boss. He's a foster carer. He is an adoptive parent, and he is also an author. And this book is fantastic. You probably will cry while reading this. This has made more people cry than any other book I know. But it is just well worth just capturing the opportunity we have here. And if you want to be put onto our mailing list to find out more, if you have any questions, if you're thinking about fostering or adoption, would like to be pointed in the right direction, just make a note of my email address that's now on the screen, or come speak to me afterwards, and I can make sure you're put on our mailing list, and I can send you more information and point you in the right direction. So there is no older age limit, but they obviously assess kind of the situation, so they wouldn't it's unlikely that a 60-year-old would be able to adopt a baby because they kind of think through the lifespan. So, but there's far few limits than people think when it comes to fostering and adoption. It's very much about assessing the situation and assessing what sort of child would be appropriate for that family. So that very much depends on, it's a much more detailed question. So it depends on the job, it depends on the flexibility of the job, it depends on the demands. But one of the things with foster caring is it is different than raising your own children, in that you are not the legal parent of that. You're looking after that child on behalf of the government, and therefore there are meetings to go to and all of that kind of thing. So it can be challenging to do that alongside a full-time job, but that's not to say people don't do it. So it very much depends on the job, the situation, the type of children you're fostering, and all of those kind of things. So it's one of these things that's worth having a conversation before you make a decision one way or the other. If it's a simple one to answer, you're welcome to.
We're going to have an opportunity to pray at the end of the meeting together.
Yeah.
I wondered what would you ask the churches to pray for Home for Good?
So I think pray for the children, because we want to keep everything focused on the children, because there are so many children going to bed tonight without out of home. So let's focus on that. But also that God would continue to stir his church, not just for people to step up to the challenge to foster or adopt, but also for the church to wrap around. And let's just pray that more churches get this. Like, wouldn't it be great if this became normal for every church to be talking about fostering and adoption?